What makes your day beautiful? Today is a beautiful day. Veterans Day just passed, by the way. Do we have any veterans in this place? Okay, we have at least one. Two? Your point? Okay, we have at least two. Well, when the veterans, by the way, we are very appreciative that you've done duty and served in the armed forces, because the United States still stands, this nation still stands as the greatest bastion of freedom in the world. And it couldn't be done without the powers of the military. And you know, when I think about Veterans Day, and for those who've actually been on the battlefield, I have a friend like that. And ever since he came back, he says he realized that every day above ground is a good day. That friend is now a police officer in Chicago, you know. Every day above ground is a good day. And so it doesn't matter if it's a little overcast on the outside. Let us have the sunshine of Jesus Christ on the inside. Amen? Yes, and that's why it doesn't matter what happens in terms of weather conditions. We should have the heavenly weather in our minds and spirits, so we can always exude an influence of righteousness for God. Amen? Amen. How many of you are prepared to go to heaven? I see some hands. Man, that's a good witness. How many of you are not prepared to go to heaven? All right, there's no takers for that, and I am glad. Because in the end, where do we want to go? To heaven. Amen? And why do we want to go to heaven? It cannot be simply because we do not want to go to hell, right? That's not a good enough reason to go to heaven. We should not want to go to heaven simply because we do not want to go to hell. We should want to go to heaven because God is the greatest being in the universe. And he's worthy of our presence. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our service to him. And we should want to spend eternity with God. That's the motivation for heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is the greatest joy we have is to spend time with God. How many of you enjoy a devotional life? Amen. I see a good witness. We've been talking about 10:15, for example. We're encouraging every person to spend a minimum of 10 minutes in prayer on a daily basis. Minimum. And a minimum of 15 minutes studying the Word of God. That's 25 minutes in an entire day. That's not a whole lot, but it's a start. It's a start. Amen? Irene, we thank you for the scripture reading. And we thank each of you who participated in worship so far. And we had a robust Sabbath school discussion this morning. Just seems like the time is too short, teacher. We're going to have to start coming at 9:30 and study till, you know. Yes. But it's amazing when we get, you know, Sabbath school, to be frank with you, is one of my favorite times. Because we get to hear the points of others and we share. We learn from each other. Some of the questions you might ask or I might ask, I didn't think about before. But because something was said, it generated the thought. And I get to learn more. I think I learn more in Sabbath school. I think I learn a lot there. Because, you know, when I'm sharing the sermon, I already studied it all week and prayed over it, so I kind of know it. Even though the Lord flashed fresh thoughts when I'm in the desk. Amen. It works. The Spirit is living. He's real. And here we are today to study God's Word. Can you believe it? It's now 5 years since I'm living in the state of New York. And I'm living in the state of New York because I came to pastor this pastoral district. The end of this month, Jimmy, will be fully 5 years. You know, I moved in to live in Horsehead in the middle of November, 5 years ago, 2016. And here we are, 5 years later. I've gotten a few more gray hairs. And if my beard was still on, you'd see it more, because there's more gray down here than up here, you know? Yes. But God has been good to each of us, hasn't he? And we are coming to another time, another anniversary when we celebrate Thanksgiving here in the United States. And we should really be thankful to God. We have life, we have liberty, and we have the ability to pursue happiness. The land of the free. The home of the brave. What would the world be without America? Have you thought about that? And I think America has done more good in the world than bad. Do you agree? And two people say amen. Well, it is in this land, if nothing else, that God raised up his remnant church. It is this land that provides so much for religious freedom around the world. It is this land that sent out missionaries for more than 100 years now, for, well, closer to 200 years. It's this land that have been sending missionaries to different parts of the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mind you, we might not agree with everything they spread, but many missionaries have come from this land, have gone to different parts of the world to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And today we see that Elijah was about to go to heaven. And those sons of the prophets, those children of God in the schools of the prophet, they had their morning devotions. And so when the stop was made at each school, because they were so in tune with God, they could tell Elijah's servant that, don't you know, Elisha, that your master is going to be taken from your head today. Elijah says, shh, I had morning devotions too. I know what's going on. It's very important that we have that connection with God. Otherwise, we'll be swept away. There is a new Jesus in Australia. H.M. Miller. I wonder if he's trying to mimic William Miller, you know? Living on 600 acres of land, has following, and he's teaching them that he was around 2,000 years ago. But it's a guy that as a boy, his mother wanted to commit him to a mental institution. He survived that, and now he has a big following. People leaving the United States to go to Australia to go live on that property, that ranch. There's a Jesus in Siberia. They raided his residence a few months ago, and he's arrested. I don't know what became. I didn't see anything else in the news since his arrest. There, Jesus is popping up everywhere. But we get to know the Jesus of the scriptures. Amen? And we're satisfied with the Christ of scriptures. We don't need any imposter to come and say they're Jesus, right? So here was Elijah about to be translated to heaven without seeing death, which is a representation of the last group of righteous people that will live on earth before Christ comes. He was about to be translated, and at every stop he made, those sons of the prophets, those students in the schools of the prophet, they knew what was going on. Every time I read this story, I'm even the more amazed. How much should we be in tune? And so that, you know, the word in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:32, that says, you know, it says that the tribe of Asher, they understood the times and they knew what to do. What if that was true about us? That we understood the time and we knew what to do. Today we are looking at God's word. And as we enter the word, I now invite you to let us pray one more time. Our God and our Father, time is running out. Not only here in church service, time is running out in our lives. Overall, probationary time for humanity is running out. Time is running out where Jesus, as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, is finished off the work he's doing. Time is running out to give this everlasting gospel to so many more around us in our spheres of influence. And we ask that today, God, you will speak from heaven, and on earth here we will listen to you. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Heavenly Father. And we, your children, we're listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. unfinished business. Unfinished business. In Psalm 68, verses 19 to 20, the word of God says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah." Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. You know, we are gathered here today, coming fresh from trials this week. Some of us had trials this week that we've never had before. Trials that have sorely tested our souls. And you know what? Some of those battles we won through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. In some of those battles we failed because we tried to do it in our own strength. But let me remind you today that God does not leave any unfinished business. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul knew that, and so he wrote there, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." The two passages above make one thing clear. Our God is the God of salvation. He is the God of order. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. What he has begun, he will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Friends, God is awesome. He has not forsaken any of us thus far. And we don't expect him to. Amen? God never leaves any one of us as unfinished business. God's work, from his mighty acts of creation to the lofty heights that his redemption lifts us through the blood of Jesus Christ, God is, all those actions, all God's actions are totally filled with precision and perfection. We can say of anything that God does, those very words that Jesus said on the cross in John 19 and verse 30, "It is finished." Whatever God does is a finished product. Amen? So, what are we called to do today? To rise up with Christ. To achieve new heights in Jesus. To allow his grace to so flourish in our minds and hearts that we reflect his character, that the world looking on can see that Jesus is alive. We are his living witnesses. God finishes everything he starts. God never leaves any unfinished business. Now, God desires you to have the blessed assurance of salvation daily. How many of you have the blessed assurance of salvation? Amen. I see the witness. You know, the day of Jesus Christ will reveal that it was your daily walk with God, your daily assurance of salvation, that really mattered. How is your walk with God today? You know, there are some people who are always worried about the future. You talk to them and they're scared. Don't be one of those. What you can choose to do is to live for God one day at a time. Amen? As a matter of fact, there's none of us who can live more than one day at a time. We just need to be intentional about it and live for God one day at a time. Amen? Don't borrow tomorrow's problems and spend it today. That makes for unfinished business. And depression. That's how many people get depressed. They borrow tomorrow's problems and spend it today. That's not good. Jesus himself, and you can look at the passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Jesus talks about, don't take any thought for what you're going to eat or drink tomorrow. Don't worry about these things. And he gave an analogy there. And he concludes in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Make the very best of each day. Leave no unfinished business each day. Make full use of each day. Do not leave for tomorrow that which you can do today. Amen. Maximize your opportunities. Seek the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers daily. Don't limit yourself. Amen. Never let your guards down. We have a hyper vigilant enemy that is relentless in his bid to destroy us. But we don't need to fear him. Amen. Peter told us in 1 Peter 5 verse 5 to 10. He says, likewise you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then this well-known part in verse 8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Then in verse 10 he says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to glory, eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Sounds like the sealing to me. Sounds like the sealing process. God's seal being affixed to the believer. Friends, I call upon you today to surrender your all to Jesus. Do you think he deserves that? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And so do it now. Do it again today. Do it daily. Surrender everything to God. Submit to God. Seek God's approval for your every thought, task, word, action, and plans. Seek God's approval for everything you do. And he will be happy that you do. Amen. So before you hit up that screen, talk to God first. Before you make that phone call, before you send that email, before you lay that food before you, that meal, talk to God. Ask his approval before you do what you do. Do this over and over again with Christ. He will give you prevailing grace, power to resist Satan, and victory over all evil. Christ conquered Satan with a flawless victory. And he did it at his weakest moment. He did it when he laid aside his eternal power and Godhead. Jesus did it in human flesh with total dependence upon God. And Christ is now giving his own victory to you. That's a great gift for Thanksgiving. That's a great gift for the end of the year. That's a great gift today. I wish I could put it in box and let you see how beautiful it is. And put wrappers on it. What a gift that is. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 37, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. No, that's a serious title. More than conquerors. Christ has made us more than conquerors. So there's no sin that should so easily beset us anymore, because Christ has made us more than conquerors. How many of you believe that you are more than conquerors? Amen. That's what the grace of Almighty God does. That's what the power of Christ does. He makes us more than conquerors. Now, take a look at the life of Christ. What made him so strong? What made him so victorious? What made him so much so that every day he had no unfinished business left at the end of the day? Every day was a complete cycle for Christ. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, here's an indicator as to where Christ's source of strength and power lied. In Mark 1:35, the scripture says, and a great while, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Christ was a man of prayer. And he prayed very differently from the ceremonial and recited prayers that are so commonplace nowadays. He really poured out to God. He really talked to God in the moment at the appointed time. Sometimes our prayers can get rote, where they become ceremonial. We say the same nice things to God every day, and the conversation never changes. Imagine if I came here and I preached the same sermon every week. Word for word. Imagine I have a conversation with you, and it's the same thing I say every single time I talk with you. Imagine your spouse talking with you, and it's the same exact thing they say. Every sentence that comes out is the same sentence. After a while, you'd think they need to be committed to a mental institution to get some help. Then why would we go to the great Almighty God, and every time we say to him the same thing? Let our talk with God become real and meaningful and personal and deep. And let's go away from such communion with God, empowered, rejuvenated, renewed, re-energized, revitalized, that we can make the difference around us that we want to see. In contrast with self-sufficiency in themselves and everyday humanism, Christ in human flesh followed God fully. In the book Child Guidance, page 162, here's a little description, a little insight we get about Christ. It says, actually, I'm giving you this of ages, page 208 first. It says, the Son of God was surrendered to the Father's will and dependent upon his power. So utterly was Christ emptied of self that he made no plans for himself. In today's term, we think that is careless. To make no plan for yourself. But it says the Son of God was surrendered to the Father's will and dependent upon his power. So utterly was Christ emptied of self that he made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him. And day by day the Father unfolded his plans. So should we Depend upon God that our lives may be the simple outworking of His will. End of quote. We need to do this daily. If not, you'll be found guilty of having unfinished business. God has begun a good work of salvation in you. So cooperate with Him. Let Him finish up this good work until the day of Christ. And may God help you to finish all unfinished business. Ensure that your daily calling and election to grace is secure. Let no matter of salvation be left as unfinished business. Like the growth of a seed, from seed to harvest, may Christ's grace fill you up to the full. Here now is the one from Child Guidance, page 162. The germination of the seed represents the beginning of spiritual life. The development of the plant is a figure of the development of character. There can be no life without growth. The plant must either grow or die. As its growth is silent and imperceptible but continuous, so is the growth of character. At every stage of development, our lives may be perfect. If God's purpose for us is fulfilled, there will be constant advancement. End of quote. We must pray, watch, work. Pray frequently and fervently for your own soul, for the souls of everyone in your family, in your home, and pray for all mankind. Pray especially for everyone in your spheres of influence. Watch for every opportunity to grow in Christ, both you and your family, and as many as you can influence. Work for souls. Daily seek the salvation of your own soul. Each soul in your own home, in your own family, in your own church, in your own school, in your own workplace, in your own wider community and country, and wherever you can exert an influence in the world. Did you know that each person you meet is a candidate for heaven? We must each one reach one for Christ. Amen? Leave no unfinished business. Now, there was an Old Testament king that was about to die. He'd govern with great respect for and responsibility to God. But he made mistakes, even committing blatant acts of sin on more than one occasion. The good news is that King David sincerely repented. He did. But still, there was at least one outstanding kingdom matter that bothered the dying monarch. David wished to clear up this one last piece of unfinished business. And so now in 1 Kings, we saw the story of Elijah in 2 Kings. Now in 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the word of God says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do. And wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his words which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Then David said, moreover, you know also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. In a step to secure the stability of his kingdom, David had invited Abner, who was now the strongest general in the now deceased King Saul's army and outfit. Abner had come to the conclusion that it's time for Israel to be united and no fighting factions between the house of David and the house of Saul. So David invited Abner as guest to his headquarters in Hebron to smooth matters over. Abner came upon this invitation and he was working to unite the kingdom of Israel. But as Abner had killed Asahel, Job's brother, in a war in the recent past. Asahel, in hot pursuit of Abner to kill him, was twice warned by Abner to at least protect his target exposed body or to quit pursuing altogether. But Asahel did not listen. And Abner was a very skilled fighter. And he told him, look man, quit chasing after me. Turn to the left, turn to the right. Turn, just go somewhere. You are so exposed, one strike and you're dead. Stop chasing after me. Asahel would not listen. And it says that Abner took his spear and in one blow, Asahel was a dead man. He actually said it to him, how can I face your brother Job if I take you out? All it takes is one strike and you're dead, Asahel. Stop chasing me. Stop going after my life. Asahel would not listen. And he died with just a single blow from Abner. Now, Abner had come to the headquarters in Hebron, David's headquarters. He had just left on his way back home, having met with King David. Joab was coming in fresh from a raid, and instantly he got word that Abner just left the territory on his way back home. Joab went in and he berated King David while he secretly sent men in the name of David to ask Abner to come back. Abner, being who he is, came right back. And then Joab took him aside as though to have a quiet conversation with him. And the scripture says that he took his dagger, his short sword, his knife, and he killed Abner. The thing bothered David because he knew this was wrong, very wrong. But it seems like some code in their civil law prohibited David from executing him. And so before he died, he told Solomon, this guy shed innocent blood in peacetime. He should not go to his grave in peace. Take him out. And you know the story. You know the story. The good thing is that Joab had time to repent before that sentence was executed. So I wouldn't ascend the seat of judgment on his final salvation. That is left up to God. What we should do is ask ourselves the question, what is it that the Spirit of the Lord is telling us to give up, to let go? Because in one blow, Satan can destroy us and we die in our sins. What is it that God is calling us to quit, that is robbing us of the spiritual freedom and the lofty heights to which Christ's redemption should lift us? What is it that's standing in the way of his grace for full operation in our lives? He's calling us to let it go. Do you know that God wants to translate each of us to heaven without ever seeing death? Enoch walked with God, and he had an experience to be translated off the earth. Elijah walked with God. He had experience of being translated off the earth without ever seeing death. Moses, the meekest man in all the earth, he did die, but he was raised from the dead and taken to heaven. What is your journey like? What is God indicating to you that is standing in the way of your relationship with him? What is it that you want to give up today as we come to the table of the Lord? What is it that God wants you to let go of? In the first of the four Gospels, as is arranged in our English version of the Bible, Matthew chapter 26, and beginning in verse 26, you can turn there. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26, Jesus said these words. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In a special sense, this is an unfinished business of Christ. He told those disciples then, and he's telling us the exact same thing today. This 13th day of November 2021, he's telling us that as we eat this bread and as we drink this cup, we are showing forth his death till he comes. And he says he's not going to drink it with us like he drank it with the disciples back then, until he does it in his Father's kingdom. You know what that says to me, my brothers and sisters? This is an open invitation Christ has left us to be in his Father's kingdom. The nice thing is, we're not going to get there in our own strength, on our own terms. He's providing the grace, the power, and like this week's lesson say, law and grace, he's providing his grace to bring us in harmony with his law, which represents his character. So today, we have the privilege to start all over again. You know, we hope to bring back the foot washing very soon, because it is a big part of our communion service. And we hope this can come back very soon, because the foot washing is like a mini baptism. Now, when we partake of this unleavened bread and this unfermented grape juice, we're saying, Lord, we're assimilating your life into our lives. We're taking on your character. And Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. We don't have to wait for a Thanksgiving to come around. We don't have to come up with Christmas. We don't have to invent Easter. Just simply do what God says. He says, as often as ye do this, ye show forth his death till he comes.